go. All right. Good morning. Well, it's a joy to be here. Hallelujah. And I want to thank Pastor for inviting me, and I've been looking forward to this for a little while. So I come from the Pittsburgh area, so just a couple hours west of here. And so, but I want to just make sure everyone knows I'm not a Pittsburgh Steeler fan, okay? So, just, all right. So, not that it means anything, but anyway. So, yes, and we are nearing the empty nest time, so that's why my wife wanted to be home this weekend with our son, because here in a couple weeks, he'll be going off to college, and he's our third son, so she just wanted to have some time to be with him still, because pretty soon he'll be moving out, and then it'll just be us. And so, but that's good though. I mean, you have to just make the best out of every season of life. And so we're just kind of moving into a new season, and we just know that it'll be good seasons. Amen. Praise the Lord. What I want to mention too, we have some things on the back table there, just some messages in book form, and also on compact disc. So if you're interested later on, you might want to just look at the table. There's not a price or anything. It's just for an offering basis. So just give as you feel appropriate, and maybe find something there just to bless you, to help you in your faith. Amen. I want to ask you guys to open up your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Enjoying the presence and the atmosphere here this morning. You know, I was just thinking as we were in worship that, you know, good things happen, or the right things happen in the right atmosphere, you know. And so, you know, as you take time and you make sure that you spend adequate time in the right atmosphere, then what's going to happen? Right things are going to happen in your life, you know. I was thinking about, you know, if you have a garden, you know, and you maybe want to, you know, grow some tomatoes, or you want to grow some whatever it is, well, you know, things are not going to grow if it's not in the right environment, not in the right atmosphere, right? And so if you want to grow in your faith, and if you want to see good things happen in your life, then all of us, we have to make time, we have to be intentional about being in the right atmosphere, being in the right place. And so that's why it's so vital to be in church, to be in the Word, to be in worship, you know. I mean, if your garden only got some sun like once a week, those plants probably wouldn't do very well, right? And so your faith just can't get nourished just once a week at church, right? You have to be daily walking with God, daily in prayer, daily in the Word, daily having that atmosphere nourish your faith and your spirit, so you're able to grow and to be what God wants you to be. Amen? But that's not what I came to talk about, but I just thought I would just kind of throw that in there, because I was thinking about that how this is a good atmosphere. And so if you want to grow with God, this is a good place to be, and just to stay in the right atmosphere, stay in the right environment where there's faith, there's hope, there's love, there's God's grace, God's mercy. Amen. But what I wanted to talk to you about this morning, something that I just felt inclined to share on, is talking about storms. Storms. I don't know this morning what time you were up, but I know I was up this morning and it was raining. It was raining really hard, and there was a storm this morning, you know. And you know, storms are not something that we enjoy. Storms are uncomfortable. They're unwelcome. They're unpleasant. They're inconvenient. We don't like storms. And I don't just mean a natural storm. I'm talking about storms in our lives. I'm talking about challenges and obstacles and struggles and trials and problems. You know, just life. You know, life happens. And so, you know, you and I live in an imperfect world. You don't need me to tell you that. And so, you know, life happens, and we have struggles, and we have challenges, and we have obstacles. But what happens sometimes is that people, you know, go through negative experiences, and they allow that negative experience to define them. And so, you know, it's not the negatives, it's not the troubles, it's not the problems, it's not the trials that should define who we are and where we're going in life. It should be how we face those storms. It's how we act in the middle of the storm. So my question to you this morning is, what is your norm in the storm? What is your norm What's your normal behavior? What's your first response, your first reaction? What's your norm in the storm? And so, you know, we know that everyone faces troubles. I mean, no one's immune from trouble, but it's how we face it. It's how we deal with it. It's how we encounter the storm that makes the difference. You know, we know in John 16:33, he said that in this world, you're going to have trouble. Okay, but aren't you happy that he didn't just stop there and just say amen and walk away? He said, hold on, but, you know, don't hang your head down, don't get down. He says, put a smile, he said, because why? He said, therefore be of good cheer, or put a smile on, don't get worried about it. Be of good cheer, it's going to be okay. Why? Because I have overcome the world, amen. So yes, you are going to encounter storms. All of us do. But he says, be of good cheer. Be confident. Maintain your joy. Why? Because you can overcome. And if Jesus is an overcomer and he lives in you, then that makes you what? An overcomer. And so I always like to say that an overcomer means that I get over whatever comes. Okay, I'm an overcomer, so that means whatever comes my way, I'm getting over. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't have it all, I don't have all the details, but somehow, some way, I'm going to win every time, all the time, because I overcome, because that's what overcomers do. They get over whatever comes their way in Jesus' name, amen. So here in Mark chapter 4, I want us to start reading here in verse 35, but let's just pray for a second, because I always like to pray and to ask for the Holy Spirit's help as we open his word, because this book is not like any other book, right? It is a living word, and you and I need to lean on the Holy Spirit to fully grasp and to comprehend what this book is saying. So let's just pray for a second. Father, we thank you so much for your holy word and all that it contains for us. And Lord, we just look to you right now in Jesus' name. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to open up the scriptures to our understanding. Give us understanding, give us revelation, give us illumination, Lord, as only you can. Father, we pray, let your truth be known, let your voice be heard, and Lord, let your will be done in each of our lives this day, in Jesus' name, amen. Mark 4:35 says, on the same day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And see, you know, all of us are in that at some point. We're crossing over. You know, life isn't stagnant. Life isn't static. Life is always changing. We were saying earlier that, you know, that me and my wife, we're moving into the empty nest season. You know, we're in a crossover period. And so you are probably in some kind of a crossover too. You know, maybe you're in a new job. You know, maybe there's things changing in your body. Maybe there's things changing in your family. There's things changing in your life. We are constantly moving from where we are to our future. And he says, let us cross over to the other side. God wants to take us all somewhere, right? And it says, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling with water. So that's not good, right? I mean, I'm no sailor, but I know that it's not good to have your boat filling with water, right? And so it says here, but he was in the stern, that's the back of the boat, asleep on a pillow. Maybe you thought that too. You think, man, I don't know, where's God? He's sleeping. I'm here by myself. I'm in the storm, and where's he at? He's like taking a nap. God doesn't know what's going on. But no, God's always with you, right? God knows what's going on in your life. So, you know, here they go. They're just doing what he said. They're just obeying the Lord. He said, this was his idea. Let's get in the boat and cross over. And they're just doing what he said. And then what happens? Opposition comes. Resistance comes. Trouble comes. And so that's like us. You know, we're just minding our own business. We're just being nice Christians, just doing our thing. And, you know, and we're just moving across to the other side, and storms come our way. And, you know, sometimes it may be of your own doing, but it's not always our fault. It's not always our doing that will cause storms. Storms are just part of the human experience. It's just part of the world that we live in. Trouble happens. And so we have some challenges. And so it says here, he was asleep on the pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Wake up, we're all going to die. Then he rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" I mean, you think that he'd be like, "Oh man, that was close. Well, I'm really happy you like woke me up." But no, but he was like, why didn't you do what I did? Why are you so fearful? Where is your faith? How is that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So we see here two norms, I want to call them, or two, like, you know, normal reactions to people in a storm. The first one we see was the obvious one, and that's fear, right? I mean, it seems normal to be afraid when you're in a boat and it's filling with water. That seems reasonable to be afraid. You're like, "What do you mean, why am I fearful? Because we're all going to drown." That seems logical to be afraid when I'm in a boat and it's filling with water. But not to Jesus. His expectation was that you don't face the storm with fear, but with what? With faith. He said, "Where is your faith? How is it that you have no faith?" He said, "Why are you afraid?" And see, to our own human way of thinking, to our own natural way of thinking, well, that sounds reasonable to be afraid when you go to the doctor and you get an evil report, or you get some unexpected, you know, bill, or there's things going wrong in your family. It's normal, it's natural to worry, to be afraid. That's just what people do. But Jesus is saying, "Why are you afraid? You can't face the storm. You can't get to the other side if the norm in your storm is going to be fear." Why? Because fear and faith are opposites. And so if you're going to get to the other side, it's going to require faith. And so if you let fear be the norm in your storm, what's going to happen? Then faith is going to walk out the door, and you're not going to be able to make the trip to the other side. You're going to get stuck where you are. I don't want to get stuck where I am. How about you? Amen? I mean, I thank God for what's been. God has been so good. But I thank God for even what's going to be. Amen. Because my best days are not behind me. My best days are straight ahead. How about you? Amen. I want to get to the other side. I want to complete the journey. God has some good things ahead for all of us. But see, we're crossing over. But you're not going to get there if the norm in your storm is fear. If you succumb to fear, we have to let fear be under our feet. Now that takes discipline, and that takes practice, and that takes work. But you have to let your spirit be strong enough to say, "No, I'm not going to be afraid. No, I'm not going to fear. I'm going to rise up, and I'm going to use my faith." Jesus was in the same storm that they were in. Yeah, but that was Jesus. I mean, he's different. Well, yeah, he's Jesus, but you know what? He came here and he didn't do what he did as God. He did what he did as a man, filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why he said to them, "Where's your faith?" Or what he's saying is, "How come you didn't do what I just did?" Now see, if he did that as God, then he couldn't ask that question. He couldn't say, "Well, I'm Jesus, and so I can do it, but you can't." No, he's saying, "Why didn't you do it?" Meaning what? That you have the ability to do it. Not because you're Jesus, because you're not. I'm not either. But we have the same faith. We have the same spirit. We serve the same God. Amen. And I tell you, that alone should chase fear out of your life. Amen. And so, yes, we do face challenges. It's just part of life. But in every storm, be careful to not let fear creep in and to become the norm in your storm. See, because what happens is, like, we just kind of get used to things, and you just do things, and you don't even realize, but it's your first reaction. It's your first response. It's just the way you do things. And so you've been doing it for years that way, and if you don't purpose to change, then that's going to always be the way you are. "Well, I'm sorry, I can't help it. I just worry. That's just the way I am. That's how I raised. You know, I mean, I'm a worrier. My mother was a worrier. Her mother was a worrier. We're just worriers." Well, change. You can't let fear be the norm in your storm. The norm in your storm needs to be what? It needs to be faith. Faith and fear cannot, be in the same place at the same time. Amen. Faith will chase fear out, and fear will not let faith in. So you need to only choose one or the other. God said you can't serve two masters. You need to choose one or the other. We need to let faith be the norm in our storm. And so Jesus used his faith how? He spoke to the storm. And you can speak to the storms in your lives, to the things that you're facing, to the troubles and trials that you're facing. You can speak to your mountain. You can speak to your trial. You say, well, that seems kind of strange, speaking to, you know, like sickness and things like that. No, Jesus spoke to fig trees. He spoke to storms. He spoke to dead bodies. He spoke to blind eyes. He spoke to things, and it listened, and it obeyed, and your faith works the same way. Amen. It works the same way. We need to use our faith. Release your faith. Let faith be the norm in your storm. Now, secondly, I see another norm, if you will, that people get into when if it's a storm. Fear was the obvious first one. But secondly, look in verse 38, and you notice whenever he was sleeping and they woke him up, they said something to him. And again, I'm like kind of maybe, reading a little into this, but this is just the way I take it. They said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" I mean, they didn't just say, "Wake up." They kind of threw a little dig in there, too. Like, "Don't you care?" Like, which means that they were a little annoyed. They were a little upset. They were a little angry, even, if you will, at Jesus. Because they're in a tight spot, and he's taking a nap. And so, one of the norms in our storms can also be anger. We get into a storm, we get into a difficult situation, and so, maybe we have our little Christian face on, but down inside, we're a little ticked off. We're a little annoyed. I come to church every Sunday, I put money in the offering, I pray, and this is the thanks I get. I don't know why I got trouble. I'm in church every week. These people are here, they come just every now and then, and look at their life, and I'm facing this. I got a lot of stress. I don't need this on top of everything else I'm facing. This isn't fair. This isn't right. And we get a little irritated. We get a little upset. I don't need this right now. Well, of course, no one needs it right now. No one needs it ever. But it happens. And so if you and I are going to face the storm with faith, then we need to make sure that we don't let anger and bitterness and resentment get the best of us. People get mad at God. People get irritated at God. And so they stop coming to church. And so they stop praying. And they stop walking with God because they're thinking, I tried that faith stuff. It didn't work. So you know what? I don't need it anymore. And, I can't always explain why the storms come. I don't think it's even really, worth our time to even spend trying to figure out every storm in your life. Just face it with faith and get over it and move on to the other side, right? Because you know what? If you spend the rest of your life trying to figure out why everything happened and why it didn't happen and why you were disappointed and why you were let down and why it didn't work, you know what? You will never go anywhere because you will spend your life in the middle of the lake with a bunch of questions and not a whole lot of answers. He didn't try to answer the question. He just said, use your faith, get past it, and move on. Amen. And so you see, they had they were upset. And so I'm not saying that it's not okay to be upset because, we're human. I understand that. We have emotions. And so it's okay to have a cry or have a little bit of a, pity party, but not for too long. Maybe about 2 seconds, okay? And then you're done, okay? And then you're done. And so you can't be in faith if you're going to have a pity party. You can't be in faith if you're going to feel sorry for yourself. You can't be in faith if you're upset and you're angry and you can't figure out why my life is the way it is. You have to not allow that to be the norm in your storm. Now, yes, that can happen because that's the way we're wired and that's the way we are. But if we're walking with God and if we have the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you can change. Amen. You don't have to be just like the world. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight, to be ruled by the Spirit and not be ruled by the flesh, right? And so, you know, whenever we're angry and we're upset and we're irritated, that's not the Holy Spirit ruling our lives. What? That's our flesh. That's our flesh getting the best of us. And so if you walk in the flesh, then what's going to happen? Then you're not going to be able to rise up in the Spirit and use your faith, and you're not going to be able to move to the other side. Faith needs to be the norm in our storm. That has to be our first response, our first reaction. You know, we have to be trained that, you know, that whenever something happens, that's just what you do. You don't have to stop and put your faith on. You just have it on. And so that's just what you do. You just react in faith rather than to react in the flesh or to react in the way that you used to be. Amen. I'm so glad that I can change, that I can grow in the Lord, and so I can have a new norm in my storm. Whereas maybe I used to react this way, but now I can react in faith. Amen. I can react in faith. And so Jesus had every expectation that their norm in this storm was faith, not fear, not anger, not being bitter, not being upset. And yes, people do us wrong. Sometimes maybe things happen and it's not your fault. Someone just did you wrong. But we have to let go. We have to forgive. We have to release. We have to not hang on to that stuff. Why? Because that stuff will cripple your faith. That stuff will hinder your faith. And faith is the only way that you're going to get to the other side. And the other side is a whole lot better than being stuck in the middle of the lake in the middle of a storm. Amen. Hallelujah. Go with me over to Matthew 14. And let's look at another storm here. Another storm here in Matthew 14. Let's start reading in verse 22. Here, you know, Jesus, he's feeding the 5,000, and they see miracles going on. And so after that's all done, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat, here we go again, and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So here he is again, and it's his idea. They're just doing what he said. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Again, they're just doing what he said. They're just being obedient. They're just following instructions. And they get in the boat, and they're rowing across the sea, and all of a sudden, a storm comes again. Here comes trouble. You know, and so same thing for us. We're just living our life. We're just doing our thing. We're just going to work, raising the kids, walking the dog, mowing the grass, whatever. We're just doing our thing, and trouble comes. Things rise up. Things pop up. Things come up in our lives. You know, trouble in, you know, whatever area of life. There's struggles. There's trials. There's obstacles. And so what happens? It says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. We face sometimes contrary circumstances, contrary winds in our lives. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, that's like very early in the morning, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And so when they saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost, and they cried out for fear. There goes that fear thing all over again. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Do you ever see over and over and over and over again how the Bible always tells us to not be afraid? Fear not. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Why? Because fear is one of the most natural norms in our storms. He's like, do not be afraid. It's I. I'm here. I got this covered. You see, look, I'm walking on the water. Yeah, I got it covered. And so Peter says to him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come and to come to you on the water. So he said, come. Don't you just love Peter? I love him. I mean, I know he gets beat up for all the things he did. But you know what? He was always the one that just wanted to get out there and do stuff. Amen. I like him. He had some faith. He had some spirit. He was not just hiding in the boat. He said, I'm going to come out there too and to walk in the water with you. I like that. I think that God likes that too. He likes people that want to have an adventure. People want to do things. People want to get out there and be in the middle of stuff, not just cower and hide in the boat. And so he says, come. And so when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, that took some faith. It takes faith to climb out of the boat and walk on the water. It's dark, it's windy, it's rainy, you can't see what's going on. It takes faith to get out of the boat and come. But he was able to do it. Why? Because he had the word of God. He said, come. He had the word of God, and he came. And it says that he walked on the water to go to Jesus. It's working. His faith is working. The miracle was on. You can't walk on the water unless God helps you walk on the water. And so he's walking on the water. His faith is working. And so here in this storm, what happens next? It says, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous or violent or turbulent, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. So here we have the third norm in our storms, is that sometimes we as people, we are using our faith. Okay, we're in a storm, and we're using our faith, and we're obeying God. It's working. We're walking on the water, and it's happening. We're getting the healing. We're getting the bill paid. We're accomplishing the vision. We're getting it done. Our faith is working. And then what happens? Then we get our eyes on the wrong thing, and we begin to doubt. Jesus said, why did you doubt? See, that's the third norm in our storm. Sometimes we were in faith to start with, but then in the middle of the storm, we begin to lose faith. We begin to doubt. People begin to question what they believe. People begin to stop believing. Why? Because the wind, because the waves. Now, think about it. Is it any easier to walk on the water when it's calm as opposed to when it's windy and rainy? No. But see, fear isn't rational. Doubt isn't logical. Okay? And so it is not any easier to walk on the water when there's wind and waves than when there's no wind and waves. It still takes faith. It still takes the power of God. And he's already walking on the water. He's overcoming. He's making it. He's getting there. He's experiencing the power of God. But in the middle of all that, he begins to doubt because he begins to look at something else. He had the word. Jesus said, come. And that's all he needed. One word is all he needed. And it was working. But he got off the word of God and he began to not look at that. He began to look at the winds and the waves. And see, some people, they believe in healing until they need it. Oh, yeah, I have faith for healing, but then all of a sudden, whenever they need a healing, now they have more faith in the doctor's report than they have in the Word of God. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but all I'm saying is that we have to not let the storm change your mind. Don't let the storm talk you out of your faith. Amen. Don't let the storm, don't let the waves change what you believe. Don't waver. Don't change your thinking. We have to be single-minded. Amen. James 1 says that we have to be single-minded, not double-minded. He says, let not that man, what man? The man who's wavering, the man who's double-minded, let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. Now, that's not one scripture that we often confess, but it's a scripture nonetheless. He says that if you waver, if you doubt, you're not going to receive. And so one day I'm reading, I'm thinking, wow, that's like pretty stern. If I waver, I don't get anything. And I thought, oh, wait a minute. If that's true, then so is the opposite. If I don't waver, then I do get everything. And I got happy all over again. I thought, okay, so now all you need to do is learn how not to waver. So he said wavering is being double-minded. So the opposite of that is what? You guys are sharp, that's right. Single-minded. The opposite of being double-minded is being single-minded. So that's what faith is. Doubting is wavering. Doubting is being double-minded. Being in faith is being single-minded. I remember one time I was at the airport, and I was flying home, and, you know, everything had gone well, preaching. I was feeling good. It was a nice day, you know. I was looking forward to getting home and seeing the family. I'm in a good mood, you know. So I get to the airport, and I'm, you know, waiting at the curb. They have these little buses that come so you can go to the long-term parking. And so one comes every 10 minutes, and so I'm waiting for the bus. And it was really crowded, a lot of people, really, really busy. And so I'm, like, waiting on the bus. And so here it comes, coming around the corner, and he goes to the door to my left. He gets all filled up and goes on. I'm like, okay, I'll have to just wait for the next one. No big deal. So I'm just waiting there a little bit. And so here comes the next one a little bit later. And I figured, okay, well, he went to that door last time, so probably he'll come to my door this time. That sounds right. But no, he goes to the same door, gets all filled up, and goes on. I'm like, gee whiz. So now I'm waiting. So I'm waiting for the next bus. So now it's a half hour later because they come every 10 minutes. So now I'm waiting for the third bus. I figured, okay, he went there not just once but twice. So now he probably has this figured out because, you know, this is his job. He should know what he's doing. He should come to my door next, right? So I'm waiting for the guy. And he goes to the same door, and they all rush on there like a bunch of cockroaches. And I can't get on the bus. And so now I'm like, oh, man. So now, a half hour's gone by. I'm not feeling so chipper anymore. Now I'm feeling a little irritated. And so now, half the people at my door, they get their bags, and they run over to the other door. And so now they all go over there. So I'm thinking, okay, now what do I do? Do I stay or do I go? And so I'm like, not sure. I'm wavering. I'm doubting. Should I stay? Should I go? What should I do? Thinking, I'm staying right here. This guy has to get this figured out by now. Three times. I mean, surely he's coming to my door next. So I'm waiting for the next door. Here he comes again. He goes to the same door on my left, gets all filled up, no more room, and I'm left standing there. I'm like, oh, man, that's it. I give up. I quit. Get my bags, go over to the door, and I'm waiting for the next bus. So here he comes again, and so I'm waiting for the bus, and I'm ready to get on the bus, and guess what he does? He goes right past this door where he went the last four times and goes to the other door past me, and he gets all filled up. I'm like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. 50 minutes have gone by. I could have walked home by now. I'm like, man. So, you know, he finally got there and I got home, you know. And again, that's a small thing. But what's that all mean? That means that the due season always shows up. But what happens is that we're not ready for it. We're not in the right place when it comes. I wavered. I changed my mind. I said, no, what? I'm going to go over there. I changed. I got frustrated. I got irritated. I said, you know what? I'm just going to go do what everyone else did. And so as soon as I did, I missed my due season. Why? Because we doubt, because we waver, because we change what we believe. And so, you know, we get into the storm and we get into the trouble, and so we begin to change what we believe. Well, you know, I used to believe in healing, but now, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe there's some kind of lesson in all this. Well, what made you believe that? Not God's word, but it was the storm that you're going through that made you start thinking, well, maybe this and maybe that instead. Well, I used to believe that God will prosper you, but you know, now I have all these bills and all these needs, all this debt. Well, you know, maybe that's not really what it meant after all. See, we can't let the storm define what you believe. Jesus said, come, and we need to just go on what he said and that alone. Amen? the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, amen. And so we can't let the storm define what we believe. And see, that's what Peter did, and so that's what we do too. And we need to not let doubt or wavering or being double-minded be the norm in our storm. We need to let what? Faith be the norm in our storm. One more storm here. Let's go over to Acts 27. And here, Paul gets an all-expense trip to Rome, but not the way that you would want to. He's a prisoner, and you know the story. He appeals to Caesar, and so he ends up being a prisoner. He's going to Rome. But that's okay, because God said that he would preach to Rome and he would preach to Caesar, and so it was all part of God's plan for him to get there. But on the boat to Rome, and this is a long story, so we're not going to read the whole thing, but on the boat to Rome, there's a violent storm, a tempest that hits the storm. And let's start reading here in Acts 27, verse 13. Says, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. So that means that, okay, they're sailing, but not long after, a tempest comes. Not just a storm, this is a killer storm. This is a bad storm. And so now they have no control. They're just letting it just go wherever it goes. And so now they're at the mercy of the elements. And we see here in verse 18, and because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. So see, now they're getting desperate. Now they're throwing stuff overboard. Now they're getting worried. Now they're panicking. Okay? And on the third day, we threw out the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now again, I'm no sailor, but I know that you need your tackle. You need that somehow, some way to get back to shore. That's important to you. But see, when you're in a storm, things that are usually important to you, people sometimes don't think you're important anymore, and they throw it overboard because they're panicking, because they're getting desperate. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we should be saved was finally given up. Oh, man, maybe you've been there too. We're all hope that it would ever get better. We're all hope that it would ever change. To just give it up, well, it's just never going to get better. This is just my life. This is just the way it is. This is just who I am. This is just my lot. This is just my cross to bear. This is just the hand I was dealt. This is just me. This is life. And all hope that it would ever change, it was just given up. So I see two more norms in this storm. We said the first one was what? It was fear. Second one was anger. They were upset that this had to happen to them. And thirdly, we see there was doubt. Doubt. But here we see two more things that people get into when they face a storm. First one, they panic. They get desperate. Okay? They're in a tempest. And so they begin to lighten their ship. They begin to throw things overboard. Things that they wouldn't normally do, they begin to do. And see, people get into a storm, and so then they begin to get panicky, and they begin to get desperate, and so they begin to get rid of things that they wouldn't normally get rid of, like their faith, and their Bible reading, and their church attendance, and their godly friends. And so they begin to panic, and they begin to act irrationally. And see, people sometimes get into a storm, and they get desperate. And they try anything and everything. They just want to get help. I just need some relief. I just need someone to help me. I just need just go away. I'll just try anything. I'll do anything. I'll try everything. And so they just get desperate. And then after all that doesn't help, Then what happens? Then they move from the one extreme of trying anything and everything to the other extreme of, well, I tried everything and it didn't work. So you know what? I'm just going to stop trying now. And all hope that they would be saved was finally given up. So they move from trying everything to not trying at all. So we see two more norms. The first one is desperation, which is really just a, like other form of fear. And so then it goes to the other form, which is apathy. They just get the deer in the headlights look, like, you know, like this is just it. And so we move from trying everything to why bother trying anymore? I tried that already. It didn't work. It didn't help. And so this is just the way it is. This is, and so they said, you know what? We're all going to die. That was just where they came to. They just gave up hope. And that happens to us sometimes. We get into a fix. We get into a struggle. We get into a trial. And we try all kind of stuff. And we're in a flurry of activity. And we're trying this and trying that and this and that. And things don't change. And we just say, you know what? I give up. What's the use? Why bother anymore? I tried. It doesn't matter. And so we stop trying. And we stop believing. And we stop trusting. And we stop walking with God. But look what Paul said in verse 22. Now Paul says, now I urge you to take heart. Now they're in a tempest for days, for weeks. And so Paul is saying, no. Maintain a confident expectation. Don't cast away your confidence, like it says in Hebrews 10. He said, take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Well, that's sort of good news, I think. And he says, for there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. He had a word from the Lord saying, do not be afraid. There we go again. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Paul, for you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Amen. So there he is. He's in that same tempest like they are, but he's like, hold on. Don't get desperate. Don't get panicky. Don't give up. Don't get apathetic. He said what? Believe God. He said, I believe God. Amen. Say it too. Say, I believe God. Again, I believe God. Once more. I believe God. Three little words, but they mean a whole lot. I remember reading a story about this man who had this great vision for this business venture, and he went to the banks and he was looking for money to, you know, fund this venture. And he tried and tried, and then he just kept getting turned down, bank after bank after bank. He went to 100 banks and they all turned him down. So he's getting a little frustrated, but he said, you know, I'm just going to keep trying. So he kept trying, he kept trying, and so over the years, he had tried to get funding from 300 different banks. 300. And they all turned him down. So one day he's head home, just feeling frustrated, just not sure where this dream was ever going to go. And so his wife makes him some lunch. And so he's sitting there eating his sandwich. And so, she was wanting, just like any good wife, to encourage her husband and to kind of help him. And so she gets out a little piece of paper, and she writes on the paper three little words and sticks it under his plate. So he's eating sandwich, and he sees a little piece of paper, and he opens it up, and he reads it, three words. And it says, and then some. And then some. Which means, don't quit. Keep going. Keep on trying. So he was encouraged, and he was, you know, felt like, okay, I'm going to keep trying. So he goes out again, and he goes to the 301, 302, 303, 304. No, no, no. Until he got to the 305th bank that he had been to. And they said, yes. And that's how Walt Disney got started. That's how Walt Disney got started. Three little words can make a big difference. And then some. I believe God. Three little words. I believe God. Can make a big difference in your life, in your storm, in your struggle, in your trial, in your problem. Amen? Life's not, you know, simple. I mean, you know, it may not happen overnight. It's not some magic wand that makes all your problems go away. But I believe God. That needs to be the norm in your storm. Storms will come. It's just part of life. But let's make sure that the norm, the first reaction, our first response in the middle of the storm is, I believe God. I don't know why it's happening. I don't like this. I don't want this. I don't deserve this. I don't need this. But you know what? I'm not going to go off into fear, into worry, into bitterness. I'm not going to change my beliefs and to start doubting. I'm not going to get panicking and be desperate and do all kind of crazy things. And I'm not going to stop trying and say, oh, what's the use? No, I'm going to maintain my faith. I'm going to stay in faith. I'm going to stay focused on what God said to me. He said, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Amen? And so God's word to me, God's word to you, God's word to us is to trust in Him. I was thinking about that song this morning when I was getting ready for church, and you know that song that says, you know, oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus. You know, how I've proved Him over and over. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. Life's not easy. Life's not simple. Sometimes it's so complicated we can't figure it all out. But that's okay. You don't need to figure it all out. You just need to believe God. If you want to figure it all out, you know where you'll be? You'll be in the middle of the lake for the rest of your life, and you will still never figure it all out. But the people who believe God, the people who make faith their norm in their storm, they're the ones that get to the other side. Amen. Now, you know, I don't know why it doesn't always happen the same way. I mean, in the first storm, Jesus spoke and the wind stopped. We like that. I like that. Hey, that's great. Glory to God. But then in the next storm, He's walking on the sea. Well, why didn't He just speak at that time? I don't know. But He said, He didn't say, hey, Peter, just speak to the storm. He said what? Walk on the waves instead. And then in this third storm, Paul's in the middle of a tempest. He says, hey, an angel came to me and spoke to me. Well, if God could send the angel, then why couldn't God just stop the storm? I don't know. But maybe the lesson is that you're not always going to get through every storm just the same way. Maybe some storms you speak to, it's over. Other ones, you got to just keep on walking in the face of the wind and the waves. And maybe on another storm, you're just hanging on for dear life, and your ship's smashing to pieces, and you're just floating ashore, hair's all messed up, you got seaweed in your ears, you're just, you know, but you got there, but you survived. And so it's not always going to happen the same way. But I believe God. I trust God. I'm not going to lose my faith. Amen. Keep your faith. Maintain your faith. Faith needs to be the norm in your storm. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And again, I don't know what you're going through. Maybe nothing. But you know what? But at some point in your life, storms will come. And I'm not speaking bad things over you. It's just the way life is. But again, do not let the negative define who you are. That has to come from how you face the storm. you know, some people, they'll have something happen to them. It's tragic. Some bad thing will happen. And, you know, for the rest of their life, that's all they seem to talk about. That's all they seem to be focused on. And, you know, your heart goes out to them because some awful thing happens. But you know what? You can't let the accident, the divorce, the layoff, the failure, the breakdown, whatever it is, you can't let that thing for the rest of your life define who you are anymore. You're a faith person. That's who you are. And so, yes, those things happen. And so, you know, yes, God will comfort you, and God will heal you, and God will restore you. But at some point, you have to get past that. And so, that's a memory, but it's no longer a controlling factor in your life. We can't let the storm change the rest of your life. The norm has to always be the same. Faith. Faith. Amen. The storms don't change God's word. God's word changes you in the middle of the storm. Amen? Amen. So I hope and pray that you got something good out of that, something that will encourage you and help you just to take home with you and just to face your storms with what? Faith. Faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes this world. Amen? I want to ask you just to bow your heads for a minute and let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, for the encouragement, for the inspiration that your word gives to us. I pray, Father God, that your word would fall on good hearts, Lord, on good soil, Lord God, where it'll bring forth abundant fruit. Father, I pray for all of those here, Lord God, for the things that people are facing, for the hurts, for the disappointments, for the rejections, for the troubles and the struggles and the trials, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that none of those things, Lord God, are stronger or greater than you and your word. Thank you, Father God, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. Thank you, Father, that we have what it takes. We have what it takes to overcome. Thank you, Father, that we will make it through, that we will face our storms with faith, with confidence, and with trust in you. And Lord, we will get to the other side. We will not be afraid. We will not lose heart. We will not grow apathetic. We will not grow weary in well-doing, but we will continue in our faith, and our faith will see us through. Because our faith is in you. You are the living God, and you are faithful to your word. And Father, we thank you for hearing us and helping us and to make a way, Lord God, a way of escape through every temptation, through every trial, through every struggle. Thank you, Father, for your blessing upon these people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God's good. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so your norm in the storm is what? Faith. Amen. Faith. I believe God. How about you? Amen. I believe God. Now, it's not going to be simple. There's still going to be, you know, things that you're going to have to work on. I mean, it's not just saying those words and it's magic and everything's fine. But I believe God. That's where it starts. We have to maintain our faith. And your faith will see you through. Now, if you're here this morning and you need prayer for something, I'd be happy to pray with you. And the first and the most important thing is that you need to make sure that you're right with God. Amen? That whenever you become born again and you are a child of God, that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. And so I want to just make sure that you're sure, amen? So I'm not here to talk people out of anything, but I want to just make sure that you're sure. And so if there's not a certainty, if there's not a peace and a confident assurance in your heart right now that you are headed to heaven when your life ends, then you need to make sure right here, right now, amen? You need to be sure. You need to make sure. And so you say, well, how do I know? Well, if you aren't sure, then to me that means that you need to get right with God. Because if you're right with God, you know. You know. The guy in John 9 said, you know what? I don't know. You're saying this and this. All I know is I was blind and now I see. You know, all I know is I was lost and now I'm found. And so, you know, you need to have a time and a place in your heart when you know that you got right with God. Now, maybe you don't know the actual day on the calendar or the hour on the clock, but somehow you know it was right there, that day, that time, that place. That's where I got born again. And so I'm asking you, if you don't have a time and a place in your heart where you know that that's where I opened my heart to Jesus, then make this time and this place where you got right with God. Amen. This